So it's gone. Cool. Alrighty, we're live. I've always wanted to say that. So welcome to Voices from the Dark, episode number 17. We are at Labetto Lab. I have a guest for the artist series today. That's Patricio. I'm going to let him introduce himself in a minute. And yeah. So I think, as you all know, this is the part of the RBL Berlin Sundays with Voices from the Dark. And yeah, it's every Sunday for the next foreseeable several months at 4 p.m. Berlin time. Don't forget to check out our other series, Mistaken Ideas. It's the Fallacies podcast, The Spectrum, which is a philosophical podcast. Today, as I said, I have the artist series with Patricio. He's a musician. And since I've been doing this RBL thing since last week, I've been trying to incorporate more music into the show. So, because, this is radio, right? Basically, my taste in music is not everyone's taste in music, I guess, but it's a good selection of hardcore, punk, metal. So on this episode, I'm going to be featuring some new tracks from a new band called Crazy Eddie. It's a friend of mine's band from New York. And then another at the end, it's a bit more extreme sort of metal. So leaving that for the end, it's a band that I saw and learned about for the first time in Berlin, actually. They're from Brooklyn. They're called Mutilation Rites. As you can tell, that name is sort of extreme enough. Basically, we're live here with Patricio, and I'm going to let him, as usual, introduce himself. And yeah.
Hello. Thanks for the invitation. Okay, my name is Patricio Baliarino, also known as Pato Kai. I am Argentinian. I came to Berlin. Right now I am living in Berlin since January. I've been coming to Berlin to play since 2014. As a musician, I have a band that is called Pato Kai. It's a kind of electro-punk project. I've been playing with that project since 2011. Also, I run a label that is called Central Electrica Discos. It's an indietronic label. All musicians or bands that have styles between pop or punk or rock, but all done with electronic instruments. Formerly, also, I work as a doctor.
Oh, wow.
Like
a surgeon?
No, I was a clinician.
Oh, okay.
I still am, but I am not working as a doctor right now.
Okay. That's actually quite interesting. So usually what I do with the show, especially the artist series, is ask very simple questions. So that was the introduction to who you are, right? And I'll basically go through all the basic questions. Who, what do you do, where do you do it? You've said some things about that already. But since you mentioned the doctor thing, and that's profession, it's like an employment, maybe you can say what kind of balance or what if you were still practicing, how do you balance that, those two aspects of your life where you're doing something creative as an artist and then doing something like sort of what I would say is sort of high level professional job like a doctor?
I think it's necessary, because when you work as a doctor, you work with a lot of people that is having one of the worst moments of his life, of her life, of their life, and you have to deal with all that energy, and you have to deal it good, not to affect you, because if you are affected, you cannot help that person, but also to know what that person is happening, so you could be empathic with that person, and not to treat like a disease. I am treating a disease. No, you are treating this person that is called.
Okay. But how do you kind of?
And I think
balance those things.
The artistic thing is necessary because you need like a way of all that energy to transform it in another thing, you know?
Okay.
And I used to do it, but I did that a lot with music. There is this anecdote that I used to, on the first, okay, I did like, so medicine is like 6 years, seven of career.
You mean like studying?
Yes, studying, like going to college or to university. And it's like 4 years to do a PhD, like you work, sleep, and you are inside a hospital, you know? Mm. Like working every day a lot. But those 4 years, you learn a lot, but also your brains, you end up really dead after those years. But you learn a lot. The first 2 years, I was with another guy that he also used to have a band. I used to have bands since I can remember.
How long? When was your first band?
I think when I was 12 or 11. Yes.
Well, I usually go like, try to go back into your past, you know, your first artistic experience. We can talk more about that, but continue with what you're saying.
Okay, but the thing was that I was on the second year. The first 2 years are the most difficult when you are doing like a PhD in clinician, and I am with this guy that like we both had bands, and we were like 2 years without doing nothing because we were 24/7 in there. And it was like, come on, man, let's do something, whatever. Let's get into a rehearsal room with a drum, with a bass, and with a guitar, and let's do whatever. Let's do music from ours, from others. I don't know, whatever. Mm. But let's do it because I'm going mental, you know, without doing anything.
So it's sort of like therapy.
It is. It still is like therapy. The other day I saw Moby. Telling that still for him playing drums is like the best therapy ever, and I used to go rehearsal here in Berlin with a friend of mine that is also the guitar player of the band that is called Kike, and he has his rehearsal room in Rummelsburg, and I live in Wedding, so to go to Rummelsburg I have to go like 1 hour by bike or but I go happy. Because I go there, I rehearsal, I play drums, I play guitar, I do whatever. And when I get out from there, I feel like I was in a spa, you know. Mm. It was like, really, really smooth and peaceful.
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning of your artistic path. So you said that you've had bands since you were 12.
Yes.
Maybe you can say if there was any experience before that or around that time that made you realize you wanted to be an artist, or tell a story about what, you know, what was the impetus, what was the kind of force behind getting you into that first band or that first experience? I mean, could be anything.
From I can remember, music always like transport me to another place and make me feel really, really good and make me wanna know more about that. From one side. From another side, when I was really small, when I was 12, I am still really fond of Michael Jackson.
Okay.
I really like Michael Jackson. Oh,
the king of pop.
The king of pop. And when I was 12, my brother took me to see him in River Plate Stadium. That is a really big stadium in Buenos Aires.
Yeah, it's the other football team.
Yes, the other, because the only one football team is Boca Juniors, you know?
I don't know, but I guess you're a Boca fan. Okay. I'm neither. So.
No, I don't like football either, but it's only just a joke.
Yeah, but anyway, it's the big stadium.
Yeah, it's a really big stadium for 60,000 people, 70,000 people or something. And when I saw that guy on stage and everything, it was like...
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I don't know if I will be Michael Jackson, but I want to do music, or I want to do things that move me that way, you know.
So, would you say Michael Jackson is one of your biggest influences?
No.
Okay,
no.
So then that's what I want to know. I want to know what was that moment? It doesn't have to be like a concert or like, you know, because from what I've seen of your work, which, you know, I'll put into the show notes of the podcast on the website, and we can, you can shout out any links or whatever, any places where we can see, all hear your work. From what I can tell, it's like, you know, you're not just doing music, it's also like a whole style thing going on. And so, you know, being an artist isn't always just, you know, that one thing like music or painting. Or so maybe there was something else that was really at the core of, like, when did it start for you? Was it, I mean, me speaking as a musician, I've, you know, played the guitar for many years. And I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to play the guitar. I was 7 years old, and my mother and the guitar teacher said, "Why do you want to play the guitar?" Because that's like one of the first questions they all ask you. And I said, "I want to be like Elvis." And I was 7 years old, so please don't judge me today on what I said when I was seven. But, you know, that's just something I remember. So, I mean, do you have something like that? That was a, like, a moment that you can remember? If not, that's cool. We can move on to
the moment. I was the thing that I feel when I was really, really small is like I have this hunger, you know, mm-hmm. of music that I don't know what it is. I don't know what it was, I mean,
yeah.
But it made me like to know more. And I don't know, I remember early days, like, you know, my mother asking to my mother, like, "What did you listen when you were younger?" Mm. And I don't know, my mother like giving me like a cassette of the Beatles or Queen or the Beach Boys. And after that, I think like a world opened, it, like a world of,
you are opened the dungeon of music. Okay. And like Pandora's box.
Yeah, Pandora's box. And suddenly there was like this whole lot of styles, lot of, I don't know if the way of saying it is I don't get married with only one style. I like music a lot.
Oh, okay. And you're promiscuous with music.
Yes. Yeah. And I used to go to a hardcore or metal concert, and at the other day I was like in a Britpop concert or a pop, you know, like two really different things, and I enjoy both, and I could like a new metal band or a really pop commercial band. I don't know. Sometimes if makes something inside me, or makes me move, makes me dance, makes me headbang, you know.
Okay.
I think
maybe that's a good time to play some music. But I guess in essence, you're saying that music has always just been there, and it's always been in your heart. I'm gonna pull up some music on my phone here. This is the band Crazy Eddie from, I believe they're from Queens, New York, or at least the drummer is from Queens. I know that for sure. I've got permission from them to play these songs. So I guess we can just play one song. It's like 2.5 minutes. It's called Out of Control. And my technician will just tell me when I can. Okay. So please enjoy the tunes. Sick of you, sick of me, sick of the food in society. Gonna hate my life to set me free. No one gives a shit about me. Gonna hate my neck, cut off my veins. Gonna pull the trigger and blow my brain. Gonna kill myself and call it a day. I might be crazy, I'm fucking insane.
Because I'm out of control. I'm out of control. Gonna blow my fucking brains away. Cause I'm out of control. I'm out of control. I'm out of control.
So we're back. I hope you enjoyed that. That was the first track off of the Crazy Eddie album called Eddie Drops Out of College. It was Out of Control. I think that the first couple of songs on the album, actually, which are basically what I'm going to play today, are really representative of what the overall sound of the album is, which you can definitely get on Bandcamp, and I'll put links to all that in the show notes of this episode. So let's get back to... Thanks, Jason, for hooking me up with those tracks, man. So back to Patricio and his path as an artist. So you've always had music in your life, and you've mentioned that you've done a lot of different genres. So why don't you just say more about what you do today, and maybe what led you to from what I understand, you're more like techno at this point. I know it's like punk vibe, but like electronic music. I mean, and I'm the worst person to like ask about specific things about techno, because to me, electronic music, I just say techno, and I know that that's wrong, and I know I shouldn't say that. I know there's all these like levels.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah, so maybe you can say more about like what, what you do now and like how you got there, because you said you've had this huge like array of different genres that you've been into. So.
Okay. I have like a lot of bands, like from cover bands, like Beatles covers bands or Guns N' Roses cover bands and whatever. And I have also bands from like new metal bands or...
This is in the past.
Progressive rock kind of thing.
Okay. So you've been in a Guns N' Roses cover band?
Yeah, of course. I was a singer.
Sweet.
Yes.
Do you have any tracks of that?
No.
Oh,
luckily,
bad.
I don't. I end up, I started like processing my guitar.
Okay.
Like looking for my guitar for an electronic kind of sound. Like, and finally I end up that what I really wanted to use this was a synthesizer. So I started like learning on synthesis, drum machines, and all that is around that. And also it was that era that started that if you have this computer, you could start producing your own music with a lot of digital kind of programs. Like, okay. I don't know, like Ableton, Nuendo, Logic. And I started doing like the songs that I do with the bands that I have, but yeah. I fed up in some point I fed up of having bands, because I used to be always the one that organized everything, and in a way also that made me choose not having bands anymore.
I totally get that.
Yeah,
and I think that most musicians will feel you on that. It's difficult.
It's difficult because then after that, the first shows that I started doing as Pato Kai, I was alone with my computer, with a controller, singing. Maybe I invited a friend on guitar, but then I started missing to having the another person, because the computer or the drum machines or whatever, okay, they're with you, but when you're with other person, that if the other person comes happier, you can feel that on the music, or if he's not happy, or any different feeling that he's having right now, and every different feeling that you are having right now, and that mix of that persons that are having that moment. It's different. After that,
would you say it's better? Like, is it better when you do music with a team, like a band or a group, than it is doing it on your own?
I don't know if it's better or not, but the thing is that the energy always is like it's like a sum of energies, I think.
Yeah. I get that.
And the reaction or the power that it has, I think is better in a way. If you are, if everyone is connected and you are in the same way, and everyone is doing something that collaborates with the track or the song that you are doing, I think yes, when you are all connected, if you are only one person, or you are five persons, or you are 10 persons, I think it's like, in a way, it's like a mathematics in a way, because when all that people is connected, it multiplies, it multiplies, and the effect is like bigger.
Okay, so you were talking about what kind of music you've done in the past, and so what do you focus on today specifically, music? And not that it's super important for the journey. That
you've right now, on. I am presenting a new album that is called Two. It's my. I have done in the past like a lot of EPs and only one long play from with Patokai. This is the second long play. And the styles are, if you listen to the record, like the styles are, there are seven songs and all of them are different. Like one of them is electro, is pop. The other one is like some kind of French electro kind of thing. Another one is like drum and bass. Another one is like a sort of punk or new wave kind of. So right now I don't have like one style, like I have like a few. And in a way I think that shows a little bit of what I like and what I am, because I don't like one thing and one thing only. Like I like a lot of things.
Yeah. You're promiscuous.
Yes, I'm promiscuous.
That's good.
With music.
So all right. So we don't want to nail you down to one genre anyway. And so going back to, you know, who you are as an artist, as a musician, you know, there's other people involved, and we just talked about that a little bit. I usually try to ask artists about who they do their work for. And it's always some kind of a balance between you do it for yourself and you do it for an audience, and you know, so there's always like this balance between doing it for different reasons. You personally, you mentioned the therapeutic aspect, which I totally understand that, but in terms of like listening and music and the audience, like, where do they fit in for you?
First most of the times I do it for me.
Okay.
Like sometimes I do songs. They are like mantras for me, you know, like to try to something that I have to learn and something that I have to practice in the daily basis, you know. And sometimes that mantra for my life fits for the life of another one that it is listening to that.
I like that. I really like that. I really like what you said. Could you say that again? That's so sometimes your sort of mantra is also like someone else's mantra. I really like that. The way you said it was better than the way I said it. But
I don't know if I could say it again.
Yeah, well, that's the problem sometimes. But I think we get what you're saying, is that, you know, you start with yourself, and then if it, you know, meshes, if it mixes well with your audience, then that's, how do you feel about that? Is that like one of your goals as an artist to connect, or?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But not always. The way I started the song not always is like that. Most of the ways is like that. But also sometimes I don't know, I have a history or something.
You mean a story?
A story that impact me in a way or change me in a way. personal or not personal, mm-hmm. and I try to in a way put it in words mm-hmm. and in music, and try to tell that story.
Okay, I like that too. I'm a storyteller myself, so I know the value of stories. Since we're talking about your current stuff, you gave me a couple tracks to play. I'm not sure. Do you want to set this up? You have Culto. And can you say something about that before we play it?
Culto talks about to make a cult to the body, or make a cult to another person, like that you need that person, or that you, in a way, that you glorify that person in a way that could be like a religion. Mm. I have a religion to that person, or to your body, or to your or to your presence, or to your energy. And in a way, it's in Spanish, you know. It's called culto.
Yeah, but it's like cult in English, yes, cult. Obviously.
But in a way, it speaks a little bit about that.
Okay, so let's listen. Whoop, that's not the right track. Should be playing now. There we go. Esta noche no vas a escapar de mí. No es salida de la red que te tendí. Haré un culto a tu cuerpo, culto al deseo. Haré un culto a tu cuerpo, culto a tus besos. Was Culto by Patokai by Patricio, my guest today on the show, episode number 17, if you forgot. I just wanted to give a shout out to the time and date. It's 4:35 and September 30th. I actually really like that track, Patricio. whenever you get back from the bar, I'll tell you again. Oh, there you are. I really like that track. You know, now that I'm hearing it, like, sort of like with the speakers here in La Beto Lab. By the way, that's where we are, La Beto Lab in Neukölln, Urkestrasse 43.
Almost.
They've always got something going on here. It's a very cool spot. And obviously we've got the RBL Berlin guys here every Sunday. I think they do plenty of other stuff here. I don't have the full schedule, but I'll be here every Sunday at 4 p.m. I was just saying, Patricio, that I really like that track. It's not my sort of type of music that I would listen to, but I think that, I mean, it's obviously well done. I mean, when I look at music and listen, you know, I have like two ways of looking at it. You know, it's like, do I like it? Is this something I would put on my headphones or whatever? Or is it well done? And I think it's very well done. So, and we have another track that we'll put on later. That was in Spanish, and so I guess we can kind of change the direction of the conversation a little bit to that.
Okay.
So you do a lot of stuff in Spanish, right? Because you're from Argentina, and at the same time, maybe you can tell us like your physical journey. Like you've gone through this journey where you've always had music in your life, and you know you've had these like moments. You know, the Michael Jackson thing. You've been in cover bands of Guns N' Roses. I mean, this is like very, you know. And now we've got, you know, this current, like, you know, up to date track of what you've been doing recently. So like, you know, physically, where have you been? You come from Buenos Aires, right?
Yes, I'm from Ciudadela, Buenos Aires. I lived there until last year. I live in different part of Buenos Aires. I am coming to Berlin since 2014, since I already mentioned it.
Yeah.
Every time I came to Berlin, I think I feel like I wanted to stay a little bit more.
Really? All right.
Yes. And also I met like a lot of friends here. Also, every time that I play, like, the music was really welcome.
The music what?
Was really welcome.
You mean
from the audience.
Oh, okay.
And in a way...
You got a good reception from the audience. They liked it, yeah.
And in a way, I wanted to do, like, a long-term experience here, like, to stay a little bit longer than I used to come. So that's what I am doing right now.
Okay, and that's since January of this year?
Yes.
Okay, and so before that, you were in Buenos Aires your whole life?
Yes.
Oh, wow. All right. So how was it doing music in Buenos Aires? I lived in Buenos Aires for a little bit. My wife is from Argentina, so this is also, like, personally interesting to me. Like, I met some musicians. I played with some random, just, like, meetings with musicians. But I would love to hear, like, what is it like... to do this in Buenos Aires?
It is hard, but Buenos Aires has really good musicians, really good places to play. But sometimes it's really, really hard to live doing something related to culture. If you are not in a really known project, it's really or if you don't, if you have a place to for bands or whatever, like sometimes it's really difficult, and sometimes also it's difficult because there are not so much, there are more than before, but there are not so. The state, in a way, is not so worried about culture.
Mm.
There is a little. It's more concern now than before. You know, I don't want to say that you can do anything with culture right now in Argentina, but you can do. Right now, there are more associations that are helping different type of artists, different type of from like musicians, writers. But in a way, it's a little bit hard. But also that hardness, in a way, makes you like a warrior, yeah, in a way, you know. And you learn, if you learn how to manage it in Buenos Aires, you could manage it everywhere, you know.
Yeah, it's like the song says. And my father-in-law, he says something. He sent us something about la crisis. It's like the la crisis makes, yes, you stronger and all this, yes, stuff. And yeah, I get that.
Since I was born, or since I can remember, Argentina or Buenos Aires always had a crisis. You know,
exactly.
Like this,
they're the professionals.
Right now, we are having like a one of those moments. But it's one of moment that happens almost like every 10 or 12 years or 14 years or 15 years, you will have a crisis in Argentina. When we saw, I remember when Europe was the beginning of 2010, and everyone was with the crisis in Europe and Spain, and I was like, wow, okay, they're finally having one of those, you know. But since I remember, like always when I was little, like always the price really going up. Yeah. And people going to the supermarket to buy everything because the prices were going up, and I grew up with that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, in a way it makes you stronger because you are like surfing, you know, and you don't know which kind of wave is coming, you know.
That's a good metaphor. Yeah, I definitely am familiar with this shopping experience in Argentina when with the inflation.
Yes.
It's a sort of a joke sometimes how crazy it is. Most European countries have no clue. Americans like me, I mean, before I learned this about Argentina, forget it. I had no idea how bad inflation could be.
No, you come here. I don't know. I came in 2014. I came every year since 2014 here, but I don't know.
To Berlin,
and prices are almost the same. Like,
well, yeah. So that's
in rents. You know, there are a few changes.
Yeah. Four years ago,
gentrification make a change in a lot of things.
Definitely.
But I don't know, if you go to a supermarket, beer. Let's talk about beer.
Oh well, that's the classic example.
The steam burger. Can I say?
Oh, Sternberg.
The Sternberg always been like 80 cents kind of way. And right now it's in a few places there is still 80 cents.
Yeah.
And in a few places it's one euro. And it's the same. I think with food and with a lot of things, the prices are almost the same.
Just for people, Italians or anybody else who's listening who don't know what Sternberg or bag, Sternberg, it's just like a cheap beer. I don't even know where they produce it. In Leipzig, okay, and so in Leipzig they produce it. It's not bad. I've drank it.
It's good.
It's for the price. You can't really beat it. But I drink Berliner Kindle. If we can get some sponsors, sponsors for the show. You know, it's not German. We're not speaking German, but we'll promote your beer. So
if you want to send us beer, guys from Berliner Kindle,
or money, beer or money, doesn't matter. So that's you're the first, I believe you're the first Argentino on my podcast. So I'm happy about that. That's a milestone, as they say. So, and since you're the first Argentine on on my podcast, and maybe on RBL Berlin, are there? Oh no, Giacomo is he's Argentine for sure. Italo Argentino, or I don't know how he refers to himself, but he. What do you think about Berlin? Because Berlin is known as being like a city for artists, a city for people who, you know, want to, you know, be more creative. Like, as you say, you know, there's the benefit of having like sort of these crises in Argentina because it makes you strong. But what about places like Berlin? Like, what's the comparison for you?
The comparison.
Yeah. So, like, what? So I feel like things are easier here in some way. If you have a little bit of German and some English,
you can go sometimes pretty far. Because of that I told you that, in a way, if prices are not going up every month, you could be more calm. Yeah. Also, it is difficult that someone came and put a gun on your head and tried to rob you and things that are really, really common sometimes.
But in Buenos Aires, is that common?
Yes.
Oh, shit. I was lucky, I guess.
Yes, there are some places that you don't have to go at night or at different places.
So do you think
in a way, that from that point of view, I really love my country, mm-hmm. and I don't want to, I am not talking about my country. There are things that happening because there are like these different levels, from people that have a lot of money and people that don't have any, and that makes capitalism makes that thing happens, you know? But I think also I could see in the horizon as an underground artist in a way also. Like the state is more into it in a way. You have help from the state if you are an artist or if you are trying to be, or like it is contemplated in a way.
Here.
Yeah. In a way, I think that is a cool thing.
Okay.
I think that is one of the ways also because there is this legend from Berlin that Berlin is really, really cheap.
Yeah.
That
and it is. It's relatively cheap. Most capitals like Paris, London, even smaller cities like touristy cities are.
Yeah, I think for eating and for a lot of things, I think so. Yeah. But I think for paying a rent, I think Europe in a way is like the levels are started to get in even since the different capital cities. Also because everyone knows that here in Berlin, a lot of people are coming to Berlin.
Yeah.
So the demand goes up and the prices
go up
too, you know, and everyone finds how to do business in a way. And right now, I don't know, but if you are hiring in a room, sometimes I am seeing prices in, luckily I could get an apartment. I am really thankful about that. But people that is going behind a room here in Berlin is going like, someone.
It's like, it could be like
a, maybe a room. Yeah, between 500, 600 or
even more.
What?
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think it's a good moment to kind of jump away from this depressing topic.
Yes.
I mean, I love Berlin.
I think
everybody here loves Berlin. It's cheap. Maybe it's not cheap. But we have another track from Batukai.
It's
called Dance.
This track is called Dance. It talks about a little bit that if you are going a little bit dark, like this moment.
Oh, look at that.
And if you are having problems and sometimes you don't know how to deal with it, like put some music, start to dance, feel a little bit good about yourself.
Right.
And in a way, if that energy would bring you to thinking more positive and to overcome what is happening.
Okay, great. So let's hear it. Alrighty. So that was Dance by Patukai. Again, I thought that was really well put together, well crafted. Thank you again, Patricio. So to sum everything up, I think I just want to ask you one final question. And it's sort of the main idea of this show, the Voices from the Dark Artist series. It's basically artists telling their story, you know, they're talking about their journey and giving advice to other artists. Like, what is, if there was one challenge in your artistic life or your creative life, however you want to call it, that you overcame, or some experience that you had that you think would help other people, to other artists, to, or even just non-artists, just to get through life and to just, you know, keep pushing for, you know, the next step, you know, keep making things better. What would, do you have a story or any kind of final advice for our people, our listeners?
No, to do what makes you happy. If you're true on what you're doing, people will feel you that way. If you're not true on what you're doing, they will feel you also. So, and you will be having a better time if you're doing what you really, really like and actually doing it. And you will be feeling terrible if you're not doing.
Okay.
I think. Also, I want to mention that on the 20 October 20, I will be playing here in Berlin.
Okay.
In Grund, that it's an art gallery that it's in Wedding. It's in Seestrasse 49.
Okay. I can put that in the notes as well.
Okay.
Link to that.
And also, if someone from Spain is listening, I will be playing in Bilbao.
Oh.
I think in the 27 in a festival that is called Bilbao Series Land.
Okay, great. And I'll make sure to put all that stuff in the notes.
Okay, cool.
To close out the episode, I'm going to put another track from Crazy Eddie. This one is the second track off the album. Eddie drops out of college, and it's called In Too Deep. So that was again Crazy Eddie, In Too Deep. Just wanted to shout out, well, actually I wanted to say thank you for listening. I want to say thank you to Patricio Patukai again. All his info will be in the show notes of this episode. The next show coming up today, Sundays at RBL Berlin, is 2 Feet in a Show. I gotta say I love that name, especially if you know what it means. And I'm going to put a song from Mutilation Rites, which is called, if I can find it, maybe not. It's kind of, you know, this is my first time using this ridiculous thing here. You know what? Maybe we can, yeah. No, I should have prepared better for this. Either way. Either way. Let's just listen to another.
You can do it.
I'm going to put them on. Actually, I'll put them on another episode. Let's just go back to Crazy Eddie. And it's the third track of Crazy Eddie's album. Thanks to my idiocy and lack of technical skill, we're getting a third track from Crazy Eddie. It's called Best I Can. So, I just wanted to say we got another track from Crazy Eddie. Eddie drops out of college. This is the fourth one. Thanks again to my guest today, Patricio. This is Voices from the Dark, the artist series. And the next show coming up on RBL Berlin is 2 Feet in a Show. Here's Offended by Crazy Eddie. Peace out.
Fools, join the real world, it's not your rules. Oversensitive, wine is going to hell.